If you were with us last week, you know that we talked about the difference between reconciliation and forgiveness. We discussed that reconciliation ultimately takes two people, that reconciliation is about the mending of a relationship, but we also talked about forgiveness, that forgiveness is not always the mending of a relationship, but forgiveness is releasing someone from the hold that they have over us, releasing someone from the burden of having to pay us back, having to make right the wrongs they had made to us, and in turn, releasing ourselves from bitterness and resentment. In our scripture reading today, we will not talk about what forgiveness is, but how and why we should forgive. In our gospel reading today, Jesus' disciple, Peter, approaches him and asks him a question. Lord, how many times should I forgive someone who has wronged me? Seven times? What Peter is participating in is something that I like to call transactional forgiveness. You see, transactional forgiveness is what most of the world, especially the secular world, means when they talk about forgiveness. If someone has wronged you, or if someone has hurt you in some way, you will forgive them if and when they make things right. Now, most of the time, making things right is simply an apology. Someone has wronged you or hurt you in some way, and they come to you and they offer a deep, sincere apology. Most of us are forgiving enough, depending on the offense, that they will forgive that person. Other times, making things right means making restitution, making up for what they did wrong, paying us back in some way. The simplest way to understand this is when someone owes us a financial debt. Someone owes us money, we will forgive them if and when they pay that money back. Transaction. You do something for me, and I will give forgiveness to you. And there's also a limit on how much or what we're willing to forgive. There are some offenses so great that some people consider them unforgivable. There is also a limit to how many times we are willing to forgive a particular person, meaning if they do the same thing over and over and over again, we will be unwilling to forgive them at a certain point. Transactional forgiveness, meaning forgiveness that we are willing to offer people with conditions and limits. This is what Peter is practicing in our gospel reading today. In our gospel reading today, Peter approaches Jesus and asks him, how many times should I forgive someone who has wronged me? Seven times? Peter probably thinks he's being quite generous. I mean, somebody to do something wrong, not once, not twice, but seven times? Surely that should be enough. Surely I'm being a good person, Jesus, if I forgive someone seven times. But the answer surprises Peter, and maybe us as well. Jesus says to Peter, you should not forgive someone seven times, but 77 times. What Jesus is saying here is not that we should literally forgive someone 77 times, but what Jesus is doing is trying to help Peter and us move away from calculable forgiveness, meaning forgiveness we can control, forgiveness we can understand, and to incalculable forgiveness, meaning a forgiveness that is unlimited, meaning a forgiveness that goes beyond human understanding. Now, how or why should we do this? You see, when we're talking about transactional forgiveness, we're talking about what is between us and another person, right? What is between us and the wrongs that they've made to us or the wrongs that we've made to them. But what Jesus wants us to do is turn us away from the other person and to him. When Jesus wants to develop our comprehension of forgiveness, he wants to think about the relationship we have, not between another person, but between us and God. And to do this, he tells a story, a parable, if you will. And in this parable, it is about a wealthy landowner who had a slave. And this slave owes him a great deal of money. The scripture says that this slave owes him 6,000 or 10,000 talents, which roughly translates to 6,000 denarii, which then translates to $60 million. So if we were to put this in today's number terms, this slave owes his master $60 million, more money than people could pay back in 10 lifetimes. And so this slave goes to his master, and the fair punishment for owing this money is to put this person in prison until he can pay what he owes. And this slave begs his master to show him forgiveness, show him patience, show him mercy. And we're told in the scripture that the master takes pity on the slave and forgives him of his debt. I imagine the wave of relief that he felt as he left those doors, free from this burden that probably haunted him for years. He then goes out and he sees a slave of his own who only owes him 100 denarii. Now remember, this slave who was just let off the hook owed 6,000 denarii, and he finds a slave that only owes him 100. What we're told is that he grabs him by the throat and says, "Pay what you owe." The man says, "I cannot pay. Please forgive me." And this time, the slave does not have mercy like his master did, but this time, the slave throws the person that owes him money in prison. Well, other servants and slaves get word of this, and they go back to the original master, and they tell him what's going on. And this master is furious and demands to know why he didn't show the same mercy that was given to him. You see, what Jesus is trying to teach us in this scripture reading is this, is that we forgive others not because they deserve it, or they've earned it, or even that they said they are sorry. That we are called to forgive others because God has forgiven us first. We do not forgive others because we are thinking about the things that they owe us, but we are thinking about the ways that we owed God. And God, through the grace of Jesus Christ, has forgiven our sins. And whatever others owe us, whatever forgiveness that we can offer them, it cannot be compared to what God offers us. You see, when you forgive another person, you're essentially letting them off the hook for some sort of offense, and you're giving them the burden of not having to be afraid or feel like they owe you something or feel guilty towards you. And that's a great gift to offer someone. But can you offer someone the gift of heaven? Through your forgiveness, can you say, because I forgive you, you can spend all eternity in heaven? Of course not. But that's what God offers us. And what God can offer in his forgiveness is far greater than what we can offer another person. Imagine, if you will, that you were in a burning building and you were trying to find a way to escape, and the fire was closing in, it was getting smokier and smokier, and you thought it was your last moment. All of a sudden, when you've completely given up hope, someone bursts in through the house, comes and grabs you and rescues you from the flames. They literally save your life. You thank them profusely, and the person goes on their way. Now imagine about a week later, that same person comes to you and says to you, "I am in a huge jam. Can you help me out? You see, I have to go out of town for the weekend, and the hotel I'm staying at doesn't allow dogs. Would you be able to watch my dog for the weekend?" What would you say? What would you do? Would you say, "Nah, I don't really like dogs," or, "Nah, I'm too busy"? Of course not. You would say, "Of course I'd watch your dog. I'm happy to help. Anything I can do, you're the person who saved my life. Watching your dog is the least I could do." This is what Jesus is getting at when he calls us to forgive other people. What Jesus is trying to teach us is that the forgiveness and the consequences of forgiveness that God gives us is far greater than the forgiveness and the consequences of our forgiveness than we can offer another person. I mean, think about it for a moment. You know, when you offer someone forgiveness, what are you essentially doing? You're letting them off the hook, right? You're not expecting an apology. You're not expecting them to pay you back, right? You're saying you don't need to feel guilty anymore about the way that you wronged me. And that's a good thing. That's a wonderful thing. That can be a blessing to another person, especially a person who feels particularly guilty. But can we offer someone heaven through our forgiveness? Can we say, because I have forgiven you, you get to spend eternal life in heaven? No. So as great as our forgiveness is, God's forgiveness is so much greater because the consequence of God's forgiveness for us through Jesus Christ is eternal life. The second reason that God wants us to forgive other people, is because it releases us from bitterness and resentment. And bitterness and resentment always hurts us the most. When we are angry or when we are bitter towards another person, who does that hurt the most? You or the person you're angry towards? Most of the time, it hurts you more. Why? Because you are the person who carries around that bitterness and resentment all the time, wherever you go. Bitterness and resentment towards another person is like going to the doctor and asking them for a pill that will make you sick in order to hurt another person. It just doesn't make any sense, does it? You see, forgiving others releases us from the burden of having to carry bitterness and resentment. And bitterness and resentment is like carrying around bricks all day, every day, wherever we go. Again, forgiveness is not about saying that what you did is okay or I condone your behavior, but it is about setting down those bricks, being able to move forward from a situation where you were wronged and hurt and understand that God has a purpose and a destiny for you. And that purpose and destiny is not anger and bitterness. And finally, the final reason that we are called to forgive other people is that judging and forgiving are far better off in God's hands. I'll say it again because it's important. Judging and forgiving are far better off in God's hands. Our scripture reading today ends with an alarming statement with Jesus. Jesus essentially says that if we don't forgive others, God is not going to forgive us. And that statement is not meant to be taken literally. We know that forgiveness comes through faith in Jesus on the cross. And if a person dies with bitterness and resentment in their hearts, it doesn't literally mean that they're not going to go to heaven. But what it does mean is that God doesn't want us to be handling the business of judging and forgiving. It's not something that is good to be dealt with in human hands because it ultimately comes back on us in a way that hurts us and doesn't help us. I mean, if you have to go in for a surgery or you have a loved one that goes in for a surgery, right? You trust that surgery, not to yourself, not to your own hands or your own mind, but to a much better person, a doctor, an expert, someone who has training, someone who has knowledge far beyond what you have. When we leave the judging and the forgiving in our own hands and squeeze God out of the process, what it is essentially doing is we're taking on a task that is too big for us, too difficult for us. You see, we need to realize that God is the best judge and God is the best forgiver. And so we don't need to settle every account here on earth. We don't need to make every wrong right, because we know that in the end, God will do that. That in the end, God will work all things out for good in the way that he believes it needs to go. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't try to mend relationships. It doesn't mean that we don't try to work for justice and peace. But what it does mean is that we don't need to keep score all the time. That we don't need to worry about people getting away with things all the time. Because again, everything that isn't dealt with in human hands always gets dealt with in God's hands. And so the message again for today is forgive others because God forgave you first. And then forgive others because bitterness and resentment hurts you the most because you're the one holding on to it. And finally, forgive others because God is a far better judge and forgiver than we could ever be. I hope today that you are able to rid yourselves of anger and bitterness towards other people. I hope you know that God loves you and God loves them too. And I hope that through this message, you're able to move forward in a way that gives you peace and helps you bring peace to the world. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we come to you today, Lord, asking that you help us forgive. Asking that you help us free ourselves from bitterness and resentment. And help us realize, Lord, that through love, that through your forgiveness, you make all things work for good. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.